This is Phyllis Pricer, and welcome to our show, The Higher Dimension. This is our first show, and I want you to enjoy yourself and have fun, because quite frankly, if there's any comedy in the psychic world, I like to find it and bring it out to the people. This show is going to bring about many, many subjects and a number of guests. We're going to pursue the various aspects and fields of the paranormal world, the higher dimension, altered states of reality, and explore the fields which we know so far pertain to these higher realms. We're going to look into psychic phenomena. We're going to talk with tarot readers, hypnotherapists, dowsers. We're going to work with people who do Jin Shin Jitsu, miracle workers, angels, near-death experiences, alternative medicines, herbalists, iridologists. We're going to have a smorgasbord of things that work together. I believe that we are all one, and the source of all that is comes through each of us. In the words of Teilhard de Chardin, I believe also that we are vast spiritual beings of whom only one aspect is incarnated here in the physical world at any time. So what our physical body is just a small, tiny part of who we totally are here and elsewhere. We are body, mind, and spirit. We are connected to the source. We are connected to one. A lot of the show is about who I am and where I've been, and to share the wonder and the exploration and the learning that I have done through my life. It's been an absolute smashing journey so far. I'm going to let you know we're in the busy city of Washington, D.C. I'm near hospital, so occasionally you may hear sirens running in the background. I have my dear dogs near me who like to be with me. So if you hear snoring, it truly isn't me being a split personality. At any rate, we also want to encourage people to call in and to participate in the show, to ask questions, to come and share their stories, because quite frankly, what we're trying to do here is expand the awareness among all peoples everywhere that everyone has the gift of psychic abilities. Some bring them with them to a greater or lesser degree, depending on what they've done in former lifetimes with their gifts. It's sort of like, like the musical geniuses or math geniuses that come around. You know, my firm belief is that these are people who have worked in other lifetimes on their music abilities or their math abilities or dance or even technical abilities. And so when they come here again in this lifetime or any given lifetime, they bring their innate talents, abilities that they've worked on before, and lo and behold, we have geniuses. It explains a great deal, I think, about geniuses and how they grow. But one of the things that we want to talk about is how people who come into their particular field and who and what they are. Our guests that are invited to talk are in a wide range, and we are really expecting them to be gift givers to you, because through their stories, through what they do and share in their gifts, they are expanding their love of God, or the source, or the universe, however you care to term it, into our world. And as we reach out and share, we interconnect on another reality. I am connected with each of you as you are with me, right here and right now, because as I am speaking, you are listening. Our energy is trading back and forth, very much like people who are on the stage extend their energies back and forth with their audience. It is a marvelous high, I can tell you. I thought I would let you know a little bit about me this first time. I'm just going to talk about me and share experiences and who I am and where I've come from and how I've arrived at this time and place. My feeling is that my being here on this radio show is a major miracle in my life. I was introduced to the owner by a friend whom I haven't met yet she's a friend, a very gifted psychic, and she's also has a show on this radio. That's Eva Herr, down in Atlanta. She's a marvelous woman, and we got to know each other via the phone, and we've called each other back and forth, and she referred me, And I was interviewed with the owners of the show, I think I can say, Don Newsom. And I talked to his brother also, Doug. And they decided that I had something to say and to share with people. So here I am. It's one of my major miracles in life, I believe. I was born and raised here in the nation's capital any number of years ago. I don't think I have to tell you how far ago that was. But like any woman, I keep my age somewhat private. I was an only child, and I had older parents. And I have a stepbrother and stepsister. My mother remarried after my dad died in World War II. And they were pretty much grown and on their own by the time my parents met and married. From the time I was a little girl, I had psychic abilities. And they became most evident in a number of ways. I can remember one time when I was about five, my mother and I were coming back from a store in Washington, and when we stepped off the streetcar and stepped into the shadows about a block from the house, this man stepped out from behind a tree, and he attacked my mother, knocked her down. She hit her head, and she went unconscious. She had a concussion, and he grabbed her purse. He was a thief, in other words. And this is the first time I'd ever seen any kind of violence. Of course, we didn't have TVs then, so, you know. There was my mother lying on the ground, and this man standing over her. And I was very angry, and I yelled at him, "You hit my mother, you hit my mother. You're a bad man." And I guess he hadn't really seen me. But at that point, he turned and looked at me, and he crossed the street, and he turned and looked at me again, and I was so outraged. My mother was still lying there, and I told him he took my mother's purse. And he looked at me and hesitated, and in my rage, all I could think of, he was the worst person. The worst thing I could think of was the story of Little Red Riding Hood. You know, where the big bad wolf gobbled up grandmother and waited for Little Red Riding Hood to come along? Well, I knew he wasn't a wolf, but with all the rage and anger of my child, indignation, I screamed at him, "You're a big bad man." And he turned and hesitated, and I knew at that point he was thinking whether or not to hurt me. And I didn't care. I just said, "You're a bad, bad man." And I turned and watched him go, and I went back to my mother just a few feet, and I tried to get her awake, and she wouldn't wake up. And her glasses had been knocked off into the street, so I went into the street and picked up her glasses and put them on and tried to bring her back, and she gradually gained consciousness. And I turned and watched the man, and I saw him go down the street, which are not well lit, and turn and disappear out of sight. Well, luckily for me, in a sense, we were not far from our doctor. Our doctor's office had just been down the street from us and across the street. So my mother gained consciousness. She didn't know who she was. She didn't know where she was. She tried to say we were living in one direction. I finally persuaded her to go with me just a few yards to the doctor's place. When we got to the fence and the gate, she just sort of crumpled and fainted over the gate. And I went down to the doctor's office, and I knocked on the door. No one was there. I went up to the house. It was dark. I knocked, and no one was there. And it was so sad because only 2 months earlier, the doctor and his family had been living there above the medical office, but had moved. So no one was there, and I came back, and a man came down the street, and he asked what was wrong, and I told him. And poor thing, he thought my mother was drunk. He was so indignant, dear heavens, that he thought my mother was drunk, and she still didn't think we lived where we did. So he finally listened to me when I said, "No, no, no, here's where we live." And we went to the apartment house, and we knocked on a neighbor's door, and of course she recognized us and brought us in. And I don't know who that man was, you see, because sometime by the time the police came and we turned around, the man was gone. He had simply disappeared. He didn't leave his name, so we never were able to thank him. I don't know if he was an angel or not, but he sure was an angel that night to help my mother get to the apartment house. At any rate, the ambulance came, and they took her to the hospital, which, by the way, was literally a block away from where we lived. We, in D.C., were about a block away from everything, I guess you could say. But at any rate, they took her there, and she was in the hospital for 2 weeks. She'd had amnesia. And the next day, my dad took me to the hospital because my mother was convinced I was dead. Nothing would convince her that I was still alive, so he let me wear my little red coat and hat and my favorite doll and put me across the street, and he said, now, from the time I go into the hospital, you wave so your mommy can see you from across the street. So I'm standing there waving till I thought my little arm would fall off. And my mother was brought to the window to make sure and see that here I am, alive and whole. Now, the police came that day, and they wanted me to show them where my mother had been attacked. So I showed them, and they turned around and said, she couldn't have been attacked there. There's a street lamp there. How can it possibly be? I said, but it was. No, no, no. Nobody would come out of the dark and hit her there. They could be identified. And I said, but look, there's her blood. And they said, where? So I showed them her blood on the sidewalk. And it would happen to be in front of a grocery store. And they said, oh, it was just a chicken. There's blood from meat. That's not your mother's blood. And I said, yes, it is. So then they put me in their black and white car. And I said, now what? And I said, well, he disappeared in the alley. And they said, from where you're standing, you couldn't see the alley. It was dark at night. And they said, oh, yeah, right. So he goes in the alley. And I said, I will tell you where this man is. He hurt my mommy, and he's not allowed to do that. So we go to the alley, and we go into the alley. And we're in the middle of the alley now between two blocks. You know you can't see from down the street through an alley. And they said to me, all right, where did he go? So I looked to the left. Nope, didn't feel right. I looked to the right, and I said, he's in the third house there on the other side of the street. And they looked at each other and said, yeah, right, you know. And you say he's in that house. I said, yes, that man is in that house there. Well, of course, they didn't believe me. 3 months later, however, my mother received a phone call from the police, and they said they had caught the man who attacked her. In the meantime, he had beaten and robbed other people, and he killed a taxi cab driver. And on a tip, they raided the house that I had pointed out to them. Now, not my tip, but an adult tip. And what did you think they found? They found my mother's purse, which was very distinctive, on the floor in the hallway. So they got the man who beat and robbed my mother. From that time on, I have used my gifts. My mother, however, was not impressed with my finding the man. She was impressed with the fact that I actually was out in the street and got her glasses and put them on her face, because she said she had taught me so well never to go in the street. She couldn't believe I actually did that. I don't know. Some people are impressed by one thing, some another. I can't help it. But at any rate, I have used my psychic abilities. And, you know, I went to the Catholic schools, so I'm a recovering Catholic at this point. And the knowing of psychic abilities, the use of them, these things were much frowned upon and restricted. I can remember when I was in second grade, and we were going to have the Holy Communion, and Dear Sister Mary de Los Angeles told us that Christ was going to be there at our Holy Communion, and we were going to receive the body and blood of Christ, as all of you know which communion is. Well, I was there, and I expected to see Christ there because Sister Mary de Angelis told me he was going to be there. And to my mind, he's going to show up or else. So during Mass, I was getting nervous because I didn't see him anywhere in the audience or the back in the pews, and I didn't see him up front. So in my own childish mind, I made a dare, double dare, and I said to Christ in my mind, you know, if you don't show up for my Holy Communion, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm not going to believe that you exist. This is all nonsense. And just before Holy Communion was given out, there he appeared, standing on the steps of the altar, not in 3D form, but there he was, no mistaking who he was. And he basically said to me, all right, I'm here. Don't ever dare me again. He was not a happy camper, and I never have dared God again or any other situation like that. I learned my lesson at 7. And when I asked my classmates if they had seen him, nobody admitted to seeing him. And when I told Sister I had seen him, he was there while we got communion, she said yes, dear, and patted me on the head, and that was very nice. Again, she didn't believe. It's very hard, I guess, I'm saying, for when you have children or when you were a child, that you had psychic abilities too. And, you know, I used to tell my mother things, and she'd say, Phyllis, how can you know this? You're just a kid. What do kids know? Well, kids know a great deal. They come from God, from the heavens. They come from the spiritual life between lives, where all knowledge is given to them and learning and open. And they bring with them streams of glory, as Walt Whitman says. And what happens is we scare it out of them. We train it out of them. Sometimes we abuse it out of them. But all children have this wonderful gift of seeing things. You can read minds. Everyone has psychic abilities, whether or not you use them. And in growing up, it was very difficult because, you know, other kids didn't seem to. The older I got, the less it seemed likely that, you know, there was this rapport with other kids. And pretty much being an only kid, I also had imaginary playmates. Now, I had friends in the neighborhood, but a lot of times I was alone. And they would come to tea parties in my house, or we'd go out and we'd play hide and seek, or we'd climb trees and we'd look for birds' nests, or we'd go chase birds or squirrels and just listen, never hurting anything, but just having fun. And I remember when they started to go away, when I was about 11 or 12, and that's about the time they fade away. And afterwards, you know, I kind of forgot about having imaginary friends, and it wasn't until I was taking some training at the ARE, that is the Association of Research and Enlightenment in Virginia Beach, which is a wonderful organization, by the way. If you want to have psychic training or anything else, I highly recommend you contacting them. They are absolutely wonderful, wonderful people and very helpful. But at any rate, until I read Edgar Cayce's books and got involved in that, I didn't realize that, you know, having invisible playmates was a normal and natural thing. And many people who are gifted psychics who have developed their skills had invisible playmates or invisible companions. Sometimes there were adults who taught them things or were with them in times of danger. And occasionally I've seen angels too. When I was older and I was in a car accident, just before my car lost control and went off the road, I was told, tell your children to get on the floor. So I told my children in the back seat, get on the floor and just to go into a ball. And just as the car made a 45-degree right-hand turn and started to go off the road, I saw an angel come in from the left and scoop up the car and lift it and angle it so that when it landed parallel to the road instead of horizontal or perpendicular or kitty-corner or whatever way, but it landed perpendicular and it bounced once and jumped up over what we call a snow fence into a pasture. Now, the A-frame was bent, but no other damage was done. It was just the way the car was, and I tell you, that angel just was an angel sent by God to save our lives and to help us, because it could have been a very, very bad accident. The car, basically, as I said, was total, but we were fine. And that is another miracle that has happened. I took a lot of training when I was young in music, and I just loved music. We had Gregorian chant. I didn't realize that anything was really special about me. I mean, my parents didn't raise me to think anything of. Whatever you did was a wonderful accomplishment. And I think in many ways that's a good thing, to realize that whatever you have is a wonderful miracle and a gift that one is thankful for. And, you know, I grew up and I've had these gifts. I could read people's minds. I worked with healing. My mother was inheriting something one time, or was up for inheritance. She didn't know if she would not, because there was a court fight. And I know I did a novena and a prayer for 9 days and came down and told my mother, you're going to win, and it's going to be win whenever it was. I don't remember the date. It's so many years ago. And she did. She was a part of the, did get a part of the estate. She did win. And it was, again, a wonderful gift. And then, again, you go through life, you go through high school, and you go through college, and it gradually you lose those intents because you don't want to be different from other people. And I know there are many people in the audience who've had things happen and who've wanted to talk about them. And this show, I'd like to say, is one where I'd like to see people tune in and call in and to share their stories and their miracles, ask questions. If I have the answer, I'll give it to you. If not, I'll go seek the answer somewhere else, and I'll give you the answer on another show. But I'd like to have active participation, if I could, from all of our listeners, or at least some of our listeners, because so many people have many stories to tell. I had training for psychic development at the ARE. I've also had training, and I do readings, by the way. I do private readings, and I can do group work, and I do lectures, and that's what I do now. But for many years, I was a businesswoman, president of a business international or a national business organization, the local chapter. And so I'm raised in both the practical world of the here and now, where you have to pay attention to what's going on, but the blending of the psychic abilities, the practical abilities, is a tremendous boost to any endeavor we have. Anyone who has really become involved and is a good human being knows that they have what's called a gut feeling or intuition, and they use that in business. And it's important to do so. You know, the psychic gifts that we use should be used for us on a daily basis to enhance our lives. That intuitive knowing, that flash of inspiration for the inventor or the mother who knows how to deal with her child or answer a child's cries and knows what it is. These are intuitive gifts that we use. Also, with seeing the right brain and the left brain, the intuitive side, the analytical side, when we use those together, we enhance our total being and quality of life. In one of the training lessons, courses I took, I learned that the left brain, of course, is the analytical language side, and the right brain is the intuitive side. Well, the left brain processes bytes of information at about 6 to 7 bytes, maybe a little more for some people, bytes, that's B-Y-T-E-S, bytes per second, processes that per second. The right side of the brain processes, are you ready for this? 350,000 bytes per second. Amazing. The intuitive side processes that fast compared to the left, which is processing at a slower rate. So that's where I say the use of both sides of the brain, the development of the psychic abilities, can enhance one's practical business daily living, whether you're a garage mechanic or a CEO or a teacher or a nurse, you know, somebody who works in a factory. It doesn't matter. The use of your entire brain, the intuitive side with the analytical side, gives you the best opportunity for living in this life and for creating a wholeness and a wonderfulness in life. And by the way, the other thing I learned, which I found very interesting, is at birth, let's see if I have this right now. At birth, the brain of the male and female, the left and right hemispheres, are about equal, okay? By the time after death, what happens is the left side of the man's brain is larger than the right, while the woman's is still equal, which shows that a woman's brain is more likely to be utilized with both sides of the hemisphere, whereas a man pushes more towards the analytical and shuts off the intuitive side. And you know something? It's very important to create that unique tie-in. There are other things. Let's see what else I can think about. The gift of gab is one thing I think I got from my family. But at any rate, the other thing is, in the learning, I came to one point in my life that was very, very crucial. It was after high school. It was after college, and I had been married. And I had just had a child. And he was about 3 months old, and I guess I was going through postpartum depression. And I was feeling very, very down and not believing in anything. At this point, I was thinking, is this all there is? I was in my very early 20s, as a matter of fact. And I had read a book by Emmett Fox called The Lord's Prayer. It's the first time I had read anything that gave an explanation of the true meaning of the Lord's Prayer. And by the way, there's another book written by Emmett Fox called The Sermon on the Mount. Those two books turned my life around. because at this point, you know, I had turned off the psychic abilities and was just into life itself. And as I lay there one day when my son was sleeping, I picked up my grandmother's Bible and I said, well, let me open up to the Bible. There's got to be more than something to life than this. I'm wondering if what I read in Emmett Fox is really true, if there is this gift of the Spirit. So I had my grandmother's Bible, and I just opened it. I just let it fall open at random, by the way. It just fell open at random. It opened to Corinthians 11 and 12. I had read them in training and in reading, studying the Bible before, but, you know, it hadn't meant a lot to me. I opened it, and I read it, and I thought, interesting. So I said, well, if this is really true, I'm sending out the testing now. Remember the testing at 7 years old with Christ? Well, I tested again. I'm a bit of a Capricorn, and I'm a bit of a, you know, I gotta know that this is right. So I figure I'll open a second time. So I closed the book, let it fall open again, opened to Corinthians 11, 12. And then I said, all right, I'll go for 3 out of 3. If it opens up a third time, then I know that there are things that are beyond, that the Spirit grows, and that this is the way to follow, to reopen and look into the gifts. So I opened the book again, and by golly, again it opened to Corinthians 11 and 12. And I put it down, and I thought, And I thought, no, it was just something or other. You know, it wasn't really true. What can I say? It's just a fluke. I opened the book again. It didn't open to 11 and 12. And ever since then, by the way, in the, 40-some years now since then, whatever time has lapsed, I have no idea how much time has lapsed. But however many years it's been, whenever I've opened the book again, it's never opened to Corinthians 11 and 12. Only that one time, 3 in a row. So I lay back, and I thought to myself, really a doubting Thomas. I said, all right, I want a sign that this is the way to go, to follow spiritual and to develop these gifts. And all of a sudden, at the foot of my bed, I saw a figure in a cloak. And he said, and this is through mental telepathy now, no loud words. He said, you want a sign? You got it. I got slapped across the face so hard, my head whipped from one side of the pillow to the other. And I'm telling you, I felt a handprint on my face for hours. I looked in the mirror. There were no red marks, but there was a throb that didn't give itself up for hours. And it said, now you have a sign. Now you believe. And I thought, well, better not question it again, because I didn't want to get another whack up the side of the head. Hopefully not with a 2x4. But at any rate, at that point, I was awakened. And I started pursuing and reading. And that's what brought me into the study of the psychic phenomena and realizing the gifts that I had turned off because I didn't want to be different. And I realized also that I seemed to have a gift to help people heal and that people would share their stories. I mean, people would come up and sit and talk to me, even as a child, and tell me things that you wouldn't normally tell anybody. And I had a sympathetic ear. And my mom used to say, you know, you're the only person I know who can sit with somebody for 10 minutes and know more about them than I know in a lifetime of talking to them. And this is a gift that one has, too, and listeners are a wonderful gift. The other things that I decided to go into were, I think it's important to have a sense of humor, and so I've incorporated a sense of humor into all things that I do. Someone said to me, you should be a psychic comedian, Phyllis. And I thought, what's a psychic comedian? What should I say? Read my mind? Wasn't that funny? I have no idea. But I am finding it that it's so much easier to be able to have a sense of humor when you look into the world of psychic phenomena. One can be so afraid or so overawed or so serious that you don't have fun with what you do. To me, it's vital to be able to laugh at yourself, at your circumstances, even if sometimes they're pretty sad and pretty stark. There's always something that you can find as a light. something that you can laugh at. And please, whatever you do, learn to find the joy and fun in life and laugh. I hope with my talking to you like this and sharing some of the experiences that I have had and some of the learning that I have gone through, that it will reach some of you and bring forth an aha moment, one in which you have an awakening or an inspiration, or say, maybe she'd be interested in hearing this, because you know I am. I do want to hear from people. I can go into stores and talk to somebody, say a clerk at a Radio Shack, and tell him what I do, and say, he'll say, oh, you know, I had something strange happen. I'll say, tell me. And in a few minutes, here he is telling me something that he's never told anybody before. And this is wonderful to share, because he said he felt odd and felt different. And when I said, if I share with you, other people have had this, will you feel better about yourself? And he said, yeah, but I still don't want anybody to know, because we're so afraid of being unique or different. And you know what? Each of us in one way is individually, and a group are unique and individual, but yet we're the same. And it's by sharing and growing with each other, by doing acts of kindness, not only to others, but to ourselves, that we grow in grace and beauty, as the saying goes. And so, you know, I've worked on that most of my life, the Christian acts, the charitable acts. And I just do things because I like the way it makes me feel inside, to be honest with you. I feel so good when I do something good for someone else. When I work with energy work, when I work with a gift called Jin Chin Jitsu, which, by the way, is a healing art. I am a practitioner of the art, and it's something like a lifelong study. It's a hero, a gentleman, I can't think of it, I can't remember his name, and I'm ashamed of myself, but I'll find out in a minute. I took the training because I picked up a book called The Touch of Healing by Alice Burmeister and Tom Monty. And this book was about the art of Jin Shin Jitsu. It is the most wonderful book about healing touch. And I almost had the gentleman's name, it was on the tip of my tongue, and I will remember it yet. At any rate, it talks about the touch that you can have on various parts of the body to unblock energy and bring back healing and health to the body. And I have seen absolute small miracles, to be honest with you. I've worked with this touch on people. In fact, I had a doctor who was working for me when I had my own business in the healthcare. I did staffing of physicians, nurses, physician assistants, CNAs, respiratory therapists, all of that. I was in that business field for over 20 years. And one of the doctors who worked for me came to my house, and she was in the middle of what's a lupus episode. And lupus is an immune deficiency illness where the body attacks its own, well, the immune system attacks the body. It doesn't recognize the body. And it can kill you in extreme forms. It can be deadly. But the doctor was in a full-blown episode. She was limping. She was in pain. Her face was swollen. The muscles on one side were loose. She could barely talk. Her speech was thick. And she had called the hospital and was checking herself in the next day to have a blood transfusion, because that's a quick way of getting out of a lupus episode. And I said, well, give me a moment. Would you just give me a moment, please, and let me try this Jin Shin Jitsu on you? And so she said, certainly. And I did the main central and the vertical holds on there. You know that before I finished those two methods, those two techniques, if you will, but the two modalities, she came out of a lupus episode. Her speech cleared. Her face went back to normal. It was no longer sagging. She could stand up straight. The pain was gone, and she looked at me. And she said, I don't believe this. I cannot believe this. She went running out to the car, dancing and singing, and telling her son, who had driven her there, because he was in such such agony she couldn't drive. Look, I'm out of it. Look at it. It's a miracle. And she canceled. She canceled her trip to the hospital the next day. And, you know, 9 months after that, I had talked to her, and she still had not had another lupus episode. So Jin Shin Jitsu is J-I-N Shin, S-H-I-N, Jitsu, J-Y-U-T-S-U. And for those of you who are looking for a modality or want to do healing, I suggest you get that book, get it at any bookstore, or order it. The Gift of Healing by Alice Burmeister, B-U-R-M-I-E-S-T-E-R, and Tom Monte, M-O-N-T-E. It is a fabulous book. I started using those techniques on myself before I took my first class, and it worked. And I had injured myself. I had tripped and fallen. In fact, I did it 2 days in a row, one walking my dogs and one visiting a friend out in West Virginia. And I used those techniques on myself. I cannot tell you how fabulous it was. With dogs, I slipped down a hill, and I twisted my ankle. I got up. I did the technique that I had memorized. Next day, felt a little stiff, not much. I wore these shoes, which I shouldn't have, you know, the stock shoes, to visit my friend in Harper's Ferry. When I left, I tripped on the street. Can you believe that? Right in the middle of the street, splat. Down on the fours, and I whacked my chin on the asphalt. My front teeth were driven through my lip on the inside. And when I got up, you know, I toddled over to my car as best I could and sat and did the techniques that I had learned. And the bleeding in the lip stopped. I had twisted my ankle again pretty savagely. And I just did that for about 10 minutes. I went home. There was no swelling. I had scraped my knees and my hands, as you do when you fall on asphalt. And when I got home, the next day I got up. There was no evidence of any skinned hands or knees. My ankle was not swollen, did not hurt. And all I had was a little round circle on my chin about the size of a dime. And that just faded away. Never came to a bruise. Amazing. I should have been laid up in the normal events of things, but this is really a fabulous healing art. And I would encourage you to look into it. And they are located in Scottsdale, Arizona, so you can teach them or reach them, and go on a website, I'm sure. But for those of you who are interested in healing and learning about healing and empowering yourself, because these are the things that you can use for healing yourself. And that's also very important, to know that you have this great, tremendous power within you to bring about healing. It's all about connecting with yourself, with the source of God, which is in you, to bring about healing not only for you, but for others. I mean, there are neat techniques in this healing art that can bring down fevers like that, you know, the snap of the fingers, can bring down fevers. I've used it to stop asthma attacks with people. There's a hold that you can use, or technique, a modality you can use, that you can hold the big toe with your thumb on the big toe and your fingers curled around under the big toe. So your thumbs are on the big toe nails, and your fingers are curled under, and hold those. You can help stop an epileptic seizure like that. If somebody goes into a seizure, it can stop them. I know, I've done it. And actually, I've used it on dogs, too. It's been used on animals. So these techniques help animals. For those of you who are animal lovers and you want to heal your dogs and you don't want to have to use it, or there's an emergency, you don't need to get to the doctor in time, you know, you can do these things to help your animals, your kids, yourself. This is so important, because the use of the psychic phenomena or the higher dimensions is for you and is to grow. So that's another thing that I've gone into and I just love doing, which is the healing technique. I'm also a master hypnotherapist. I got into that because I thought that was absolutely fascinating. I used to go into, I guess, an altered state and didn't know what it was and had no idea. I'd go into it spontaneously and then come out of it. Like in 15 or 20 minutes, I'd go under no matter where I was. If I was driving, I'd have to pull over to the side of the road. If I was sitting in a chair, I'd suddenly go out. And I had no idea. I thought maybe I had I think it was a narcolepsy, a sleeping sickness where you fall asleep. But I wasn't asleep. You know, my eyes would be closed, but I was totally aware of everything that was going on around me. I could hear if there was a TV show. I was aware of the dialogue. My senses were heightened during this period of time. And I'd go under maybe 15, 20 minutes. I'd go under and I'd come out just as fast, almost like a snap of a finger as I'm back. And then I'd have full energy and everything was fine and dandy. And I'd had this for a number of years that this happened. You know, I could be just sitting relaxing and all of a sudden it would happen. Or I, as I said, I could be working and it would happen. But, you know, the doctors told me there was nothing wrong with me. So I figured, eh. And one day I decided to go into hypnotherapy. I kind of read something about it at Edgar Cayce and I thought, well, this is neat. So I took a course through the ARE and through who hired Alan Chips, who is a doctor of hypnotherapy, PhD. Marvelous man. He has the association, the National Association of Transpersonal Hypnotherapists. They are located in Kill Devil Hills, North Carolina at this time. But it's a wonderful association. He does wonderful training. I took training from him. And I talked to him before the class, and he told me what I was doing was going into a spontaneous altered state. And for the first time in my life, at least I knew what it was. And before we took the class, which is interesting, we had to read this particular book on hypnosis. Well, I'm a voracious reader. I mean, reading 5 or 6 books a week is nothing to me. I will pick up a book and read it. Used to be I read one book through to the end, but now my mind is so quick and I read fast. So I'll pick up several books, put them down, pick them up, put them down, and I will have them read. And I can go for hours and read. I can read 5 or 6 hours straight, no problem. Well, I'd pick up this book to read it, 2 or 3 pages, I'd go to sleep. Now, I got the book about a month ahead of time, and I'm reading, and I couldn't understand why. I tried and tried. This is the foreword, folks. This is not chapter 1. This is not chapter 2. This is not anything else. This is just trying to get through the foreword on what this is. So when I went into the class, and I said, you know, I'm so sorry, Dr. Chips. I know I'm supposed to read this book. I do apologize. I am a reader, and I explained this to him. And he laughed. He said, you know what you're doing. I said, no, what am I doing? He said, you're hypnotizing yourself. He said, you know, you're a very easy subject. And I said, you know, I don't think anybody's ever called me really easy before, but okay. So, all right. So what do I do? He says, very easy. I'm going to hypnotize you now, and you will never again fall asleep reading a hypnotherapy book. You will be able to read it. So right then, before the seminar started, he hypnotized me, 1, 2, 3, told me I would be able to read that book, read any other book, would not fall asleep again, and 1, 2, 3, I'm out. Not a problem. Loved the course that night. That night, I went to my room, I read that book. That sucker must have been close to 300 pages. I read that book through, went back the next morning. It was great. I could read the book. So as far as I'm concerned, hypnotherapy is one of those miracles that happens in one's life, and it's fabulous. I guess I'm a stream of consciousness thought person because I'm trying to share with you who and what I am so that you know who I am and what I'm doing, and I'm open to ideas and awarenesses. I'm open to sharing with people, and I am opening and expanding all the time my levels of consciousness so that I can get to know you and get to share with you and to have you share with me all there is. I want people to know that they are special, that they each and every one is a unique and special gift, that they are in and of themselves gifts of God, and that I am blessed with each person that I meet and know. And I want everyone to become aware of their uniqueness and specialness, and how much and how important it is for them to get to know themselves and to know the relationship with their inner self, their higher being, or that being they call God, or the universe, or the Father, or the Creator, or by whatever name that you use to to signify that which is the creator of all of us, that which is the source of our life. And I guess in a little way I've become a little bit more conscious of not just using the word God, because I want to include all people in this. We all know who the great source is. The words are not important. It's the focus and intent of what we are trying to do that is so important. It is keeping our ideas and our mind focused on that which is in the highest good for each of us, that which brings about love and service and kindness, to create a better world, beginning with our own world, our microcosm within our own being, the macrocosm that extends from that. The kindest word today with one person may indeed spread to rock the world another day. And the importance of thinking and creating and focusing our energy on creating that which is good around us is so important. You know, I really can't stress it enough. I'm still getting my own thoughts around the power that lies within each of us to create on our own day. And creating our own reality has become kind of such a trite phrase that I don't really want to use it that way. But we do create our reality in what we think. And by changing how we think and how we see and perceive ourselves, we not only change our own world, but we change the world around us and the whole world itself. I don't know how to express it any other way. But at any rate, I've gone on in hypnotherapy and shared with people. There have been some absolutely wonderful things. People who were afraid of enclosed spaces, you know, in one session, they can be rid of that fear and phobia. So I do hypnotherapy as well. I've done past life regression, which is great, because a lot of problems that we have, a lot of fears that we have, a lot of emotions that we have, positive and negative, I have to admit that, come from past lifetimes or a number of past lifetimes. Sometimes they skip. We skip around, especially if we've got stuff we got to pay back for. But, you know, in hypnotherapy, it's a very gracious and easy form of bringing about our own healing. We do the work. The therapist, the hypnotist, really, we're just moderators. We're just facilitators. We ask questions. You know, you, the client, are the ones who do the work. You are the ones who dredge your memories. You are the ones who go through this, and we just work with you in concert and harmony to heal. And, yeah, everybody can be hypnotized. There are a few that can't, but usually you need to be able to focus well in order to be hypnotized well. So very intelligent people can be hypnotized. And there's nothing to fear. I've also taken courses in Life Between Lives. Now, that's a real trip, to go back and find out what we do between lives, where we are, what we learn. Because as we move from lifetime to lifetime and growing, you know, it's not this kind of space out in the sky where we play harps or guys smoke 10-cent cigars or you go fishing all day.
Phyllis, yes. Did you want to take a call?
Yes, I'd love to take a call.
Okay, Julia's online. I'll put her right through.
Thank you. Well, we are interrupted because we've got a call. Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm so glad you're my first caller. I'm so proud. You win a gold star.
Really enjoying your show. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you. How very kind of you to say so. Are you going to share with us or ask a question or what?
Well, actually, I was going to share.
Please share. What is it?
I had an incident one time. Earlier in the show, you were talking about driving your car, and you heard a voice that said, tell your children to get down, and then...
Yes.
Okay, well, I didn't hear a voice as much. I was driving down a new road, and it was pitch dark.
Uh-huh.
And I was driving along, and I don't really know what happened, but I had a VW bug. It was a new road. I came to a T in the road that I didn't realize was there. I just kind of came up on it.
Uh-huh.
And there was, you know, when they're doing road construction,
exactly,
they'll put those big mounds of dirt?
Oh, yes.
Well, at some point, my VW bug was on the road, and then the next thing I knew, it's on the other side of the mound of dirt.
Oh, my Lord.
And all four wheels had popped the air out of them.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'm, like, walking down the road because I couldn't drive my car.
Oh, no.
Down the road because I'm near, you know, where I was living at the time.
Uh-huh.
But when I went back to get it the next day, it was funny because you see the road come to a T.
Right.
The mound of dirt, and then my car is on the other side. And the men who are working on the road are out there, and they're, you know, kind of pointing and laughing. You know, it's the strangest thing we've ever seen. But I think that must have been angelic intervention.
I think it was, too. I think someone just lifted you up and plopped you down on the other side. Yes, ma'am.
Because it just, you know, VW bugs aren't the biggest cars there are, and it's just this mound of dirt was taller than it was.
there were no tracks going up or down it, were there?
No, there was nothing.
No tracks in the dirt.
No.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right, exactly. I've always,
fabulous,
you know, wondered about that. I suspected that's what it was, you know, how you think to yourself, but.
Yeah, and you don't want to accept it, right. Actually, yes, it was, ma'am. That was angelic. That's why we have guardian angels, you know.
Yeah. And there was one other time
uh-huh.
I was riding with a friend, and they're kind of the people that like to go out back, out four-wheeling and that type of thing.
Oh, yes.
Well, we had gone just out driving one day, and we went down, like there was a big area where the dirt had been dug out, and it was
mm-hmm.
quite deep.
Yes.
So when we went over, I mean, we were like literally perpendicular to the bottom of this pit.
Oh, good Lord.
And I was thinking, oh, dear God, you know, this is it. We're going to just be like a play toy car that's going to just, you know, plummet to the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And somehow we stayed, you know, attached to the side of this dirt mine, you know, whatever you would call it, pit. And he was able to drive the whole way down. And, you know, physics, the law of physics, you're thinking, how in the world did this, how did we not fall off the side of this dirt mound? It was incredible. And that's my second time that I think, you know, somebody has got to be watching over me, that there's no way physically possible that
exactly.
that car shouldn't have just plummeted right to the bottom and both of us been killed.
Oh, that's fabulous. Oh,
so.
I'm so glad you called to share that. This is a great story.
Stories of where I thought I had an angelic intervention.
Well, I think you did. And, you know, we put our guardian angels really work overtime. I hate it when they go on vacation.
Definitely. Mine probably knows by now. Better not leave my side.
Well, thank you so much for calling. I hope you'll keep on listening and you'll call it again sometime. We're going to have some really wonderful people in the future with us. And, you know, you can always call me. I do have a private line. I do have business. And I can be reached on my business phone that I'll give at the end of the show.
Okay.
But thank you for calling. I hope we have lots of people who call and share. I have to tell you all, too, that I am also developing a TV show that we are going to go commercial. And what we want to do is gather stories from people like you. And we get these stories and we will talk about it, interview people, and then we'll do a reenactment of what happened.
Wow.
Yeah. So stories like this I'd love. So, you know, if you want to, you know, call my, listen for my phone number at the end and call and leave the information and maybe email me your stories and stuff like that. I'd love to use them on my TV show. We're going to be going on commercial cable.
Well, I'm practically your neighbor. I'm here in Maryland.
You are? How cool.
Yes.
What part of Maryland?
I'm northeast of Baltimore.
Wow. How nice. Oh, I'm so glad. And welcome, neighbor.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Congratulations on your new show.
Thank you very much. God bless and have a good evening.
Thank you. You too.
Bye. Bye-bye. Oh, gosh, this just warms my heart to have heard from her. And I'd love to hear from others. As I said, I do have a TV show that we are going into commercial production, and I'd love to have listeners call in with their miracles, and it could be UFO invitations. No invitations from UFOs, please. UFO encounters. I'm sorry. I'm so excited. I don't know what to do with myself. Near-death experiences, miracles, angel visits, whatever it is that you have, a healing that's absolutely miraculous from through prayer, through intervention, anything of this nature, I would like to know about it. I'd call in and share. I'll give you my email address, and I'll give you a phone office number, because if you want a reading from me or hypnotherapy.
Phyllis, we have one more call online. I know we're going to run over, but that's okay. I'll swing her through.
Okay, thank you. Welcome caller number two.
It takes me about 5 seconds to put them through.
Absolutely. Thank
okay.
you. Well, we're going to have a second caller. This is fabulous, people. You're making my day. I can't tell
Hi,
you.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, who are you?
Hi, my name's Sandy. I'm just listening, and I wanted you to know I enjoyed your show tonight, and I know it's late, and you got to move on, but I just wanted to tell you that.
Well, isn't that sweet of you? Do you have a story to share?
I have a little quick story that could go real well.
Good.
When I was young, I was in my 20s, and I was waiting for the bus to go to work, and it was when it was dark out in the morning.
Right.
And this car came and pulled along beside me, but I didn't think nothing of it because
mm-hmm.
there was houses all along the block.
Sure.
And then as I was standing there, this voice in my head just said, real slowly, it said, Sandy, I want you to run, and I want you to run right now. And as I just took off, and the car took off at the same time I started running.
Wow.
I know, it freaked me out, and that's when the beginning I started changing my attitude about life. So I just wanted to tell you.
Well, that is a story. And you know what? That voice you heard in your head, that
yeah.
was your guardian angel.
Oh, it was?
Yes.
Oh. I don't even know what sex it was. I just know it was said so slowly and clearly. I was in shock.
No, that was your angel warning you. God bless you, darling, for listening. You know,
God
a lot
bless
of people
you.
Don't realize that their angels do talk to them when necessary. And it's in your head that you hear it. Sometimes people hear it outside their head, but often it's just from inside your head.
Well, thank you for your show, Phyllis, and I'll be listening.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Take care,
Bye.
Darling. Ciao.
You too. Bye.
Okay, well, we've come to near the end of the show, so I'm going to try and give you some contact information. You can always reach me through bbsradio.com if you need your messages. I know they have a chat room, et cetera. But if you want a psychic reading or you want hypnotherapy or you want me to do work with energy for you, practitioner of Jinjin Jitsu, remember, I am available. The number here for my office is 202-387-2080. I do give lectures and seminars, and I do talk to people individually and in small groups. My email address is, oddly enough, CPR, as in cardiopulmonary resuscitation, CPR4339313@AOL.com. I am interested in hearing from you. I invite you all to listen again. You've made my life joyful today. I feel so happy that I am on the show. I'll be here next Thursday. My guest for next week is going to be Jeannie Page. She lives in Virginia. She's an herbalist, an iridologist, and a consultant. She's just an all-around marvelous, marvelous human being and a joy to me. She's one of my dearest friends, and she helped heal me when I was ill. And she herself helped herself recover from multiple sclerosis through change of diet, et cetera. So we're going to talk about that, too, about nutrition and herbs and so forth. I thank you. You've done me a great honor in listening to me and joining me here on the higher dimension. I look forward to talking to you again. I send you light and love and joy in your life, and may you be safe, healthy, and happy, and prosper. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.